This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live downtown Vegas. Circa Resort Casino was the spot. Good, solid, strong three-hour program lined up today. Anthony Irwin, who covers the Lakers, coming up in 30 minutes. Paul Charchian, Super Bowl props in studio in an hour. Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate coming up in 90. And Paul Bovey, professional sports bettor, his best bets on the Super Bowl so far with props coming up in a few hours. Paulie, this is fun because the closer we get to the Super Bowl, that means that pretty much all the props have dropped or are in the process of dropping right now. I did notice this one. It became a popular thing, I think, offshore right away on Sunday night after the matchup was set, and now a bunch of legal sports books have this up. But as always, shop around. Prices are much different. For example, at DK, they have to have fun with this matchup. To go back to the first time that they played, and Russell Wilson threw that INT at the one-yard line to clinch the game for the Patriots. DK has Seahawks to attempt a pass from on or inside the Pats' one-yard line. That's 7-1. A book out here in Vegas has 4-1. DK also offers to throw a touchdown from on or inside the Pats' one at 16-1. Like, I think it's 7-1. Is that not worth like taking a stab on that? Assuming like, because it's -140 for the shortest touchdown of the game to be under 1.5 yards. And it's happened 5 out of the last 6 years, I think 8 out of 10.
Glenn and Quincy.
Yes, yeah, so, right. That's his favorite bet.
Loves him. Big
so,
game, yeah.
The whole thing is Kenneth Walker is probably up against it, against this really stout rush defense for the Patriots. Isn't there a really nice scenario where the Seahawks get down to the 1 yard line? Like, he's stuffed once or twice, third down and one. They go shotgun, it. Throw it one time to JSN.
It's too bad it's not the Rams. Rams do that every game.
Oh, it'll be automatic.
That's a good idea to put that up. Westgate also put up, will the game be 14-14 at the half, like the last meeting in the Super Bowl. So some creativity and what I think is some new stuff, although I could be wrong, but a pretty good job by the books here. But that I like that they – I think you had to put that up based on how – it was iconic how it ended. It was a top five Super Bowl moment.
Probably. And nobody in the world wanted Pete Carroll to throw the football there.
That's right.
They wanted Marshawn Lynch, beast mode. And he did not do that.
Uh-huh.
So are we going to get a big passing game here? Now, last week in the wind, in game one, in the snow, the inclement weather, we didn't get anything going on. So this, we expect the weather to be a much nicer day. And the Matthew Stafford game went off the hook with how many yards they combined for. Darnold may 475 combined. That seems feasible. That's not outlandish. That's +121 in the game.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to have is basically both guys, 250 each, clear the hell, and then you can climb the ladder. 500 plus combined is +169. Stafford and Darnold went crazy last week. If I don't think this is going to happen, but 600 plus is +710. Will either quarterback throw for 275 plus +123?
Well,
what if the Seahawks get out in front? What if they're just a much better team and they're leading by 3 touchdowns late second quarter?
That's your scenario there. That's what you need. But that, because I think it's going to be low scoring. But if Seattle gets out to a big lead, then all hell could break loose with all these props.
So for a long time this year, you were very good at coming up and finding these props that were available in primetime games. Like, will a certain player have 5 yards each quarter?
Well, right. Let me use an example.
Okay, good.
Walker, 5 yards rushing. Come on. $1.25. 25 yards each half, $1.25.
I think he goes under, so I'm not going to get involved.
He can't have 5 yards rushing each quarter?
Don't know about that one.
Like that a lot.
Do you? Okay.
That's good stuff that they have up your right at Caesars. The JSN, the Puka, all that hit last week. And you would think it's not that hard to do and not that difficult. But for a running back who's going to get a lot of carries, I need 5 yards each quarter and 25 yards each half. And I don't have to worry about McVay and a guy abandoning the run here or going to Corum, the backup.
How much pressure is Drake May going to be under from the get-go of this game? Their offensive line, not great. Will Campbell's been getting dominated. The highlights of him, whew, man, not pretty lately. So you would think the Seahawks front, they're going to get plenty of pressure on Drake May the entire time. I thought this was intriguing. The Westgate has rushing yards in the first quarter by May, 6.5. DK has 10-plus at +130. Don't we think young kid, 23, could be the youngest quarterback ever to win a game? Nerves are going to be rocking and rolling the entire time. He likes to scramble anyway. There's a pathway to where the pressure's on. He sees an alley, going to take off 16 yards on the first drive of the game.
I hadn't considered that. Interesting angle. I don't know. That one's tough.
I kind of like that one.
I like the rushing yards over for the game. Was it going to happen right away? Perhaps. Maybe you're onto something there. This has been offered before, and it should have cashed in the Atlanta Super Bowl, where Amendola had him wide open and missed him. But will a quarterback have a reception? Yes is plus 750. Darnold to have a reception is 14-1. You see weird stuff in Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone likes to bet over 2.5 players to throw a pass. Will a non-quarterback throw a touchdown? We've seen that stuff cash. When that usually cashes, too, where there's razzle-dazzle.
Oh, they break out the bag of tricks here.
I mean,
in
that's
game.
Something. Would they actually, New England of all teams, and McDaniels, who's done it, would he do something with May?
Yeah. Well,
Darnold, I can't see. But I could see May maybe with some trick play.
Who could ever forget the Philly special? Now, I don't know where that ranks overall in terms of Super Bowl plays. Like, that did not win Philadelphia the game, but it was a monster play. And the creativity there was an A+.
Are you there with Darnold? Darnold, 30 yards rushing is 10-1.
No, I can't. No.
Won't take off?
No.
Nah. Nothing oblique? Okay.
No, I'll give you a couple of other ones that I found.
All right.
JSN, 4 catches in each half. Each half now. No quarter nonsense that you like to throw at me.
Yeah.
Plus 350.
I need more.
Okay.
I would need more than that.
Fair enough. Will Rashid Shaheed have either 50 yards receiving or 20-plus yards rushing is 2-1?
I saw that. That's at DraftKings. Yeah.
That's intriguing to me.
Not bad.
They dial up the home run, like, opportunities for Shaheed. Like, every time that he's involved, it's either a shot deep from Darnold or there's something crazy around the end where it's like, okay, if there's a gap there, he's going to take off and be gone for, like, 25 yards.
Good luck.
Diggs, 3 catches each half. More manageable than 4, obviously. 4-1.
4-1? No way. No. Absolutely not. I love the Seattle defense. I mean, look at what these guys are priced at, too. I mean, no way he gets that. Have you seen, has this been offered before? Will there be a blocked punt? I don't recall seeing that ever. Westgate has it. Will there be a blocked punt, 12-1? Will there be a blocked field goal plus 750?
I'm going to say it has been.
I don't recall seeing that.
That's
very good.
Yeah, we'll ask Sherman in 90 minutes.
Not a bad
minutes.
Price either, and we had it happen in the AFC game. Plus 750.
Yeah. Here's what I want to know from today. I want to know from Jeff Sherman, again at the Westgate. They take 2,000 a pop, 2 bets at a time from each bettor that comes in to their book last night and then available on the app. And Paul Bovey, professional sports bettor. I want to find out the fringe player that they expect nothing out of in this game. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell. I want, like, JSN under 91.5. Okay, that's, anybody can come up with that idea. I want to know who is the guy where the number is like 20 yards in that range, where he's not part of the game plan. They don't like to throw to him anyway. This defense has an elite defender. He might get like 1 target. That's it. And just hammer everything on that person. Like, could that be an AJ Barner type? Is it? I don't think it's going to be Hunter Henry. I think Henry's in for a nice game here today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do we do with Helani, the backup running back now for the Seahawks? Because I think there's an angle here.
You can make a case for him, yeah.
You can make it have a good game?
Dump-offs, yeah. I think this is a big dump-off game. It's Henderson, it's Stevenson, it's Helani, it's Walker. A lot of dump-offs because of the pressure in the defensive fronts.
Well, then,
especially how bad New England's O-line has been. And May just getting rid of the ball fast.
Well, then we'll flip it then with the backup running backs because they're the guys that are number 2 in line anyway. For example, your catch that you had early in the week, Travion Henderson right away to go over 1.5 yards. I laddered him a little bit today as well, played some over catches on top of that. Mm-hmm. The numbers are so low, and you can absolutely throw on the Seahawks defense with running backs.
Plus 650, 3 catches, I believe. Is that what you did? Is that what it is?
I think it was 6-1 plus 650, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the Helani angle is it's only 9.5 and it's only 1.5 catches. And if they use him, would it be more out of a pass receiving role rather than running the football? I would think that's probably the case again because the Patriots are so good at stopping the opposing team's run.
Well, remember what Kramer did. He called Juszczyk First 49er reception.
Yeah, there was an angle there that happened in the past.
Let's get the confidence going. Let's do something easy, and let's just throw something that's a high percentage and get the nerves out of the way, which it's also priced into, will both quarterbacks complete their first pass, which is the no is even money. Also at Westgate. But the other thing I like is, you
they,
know,
they have, by the way, will Drake May complete his first two passes?
Really? I missed that. That's good. But I also, Will Hill did this forever. William Hill, the book. Especially when Nick Bogdanovich was there. Well, you're doing this every year, and it's like, open it up to the public. Employees, people send stuff in.
Yep.
Great ideas. Will a drive start inside your own five? That's an idea from a customer. You know, will a team use all six timeouts? That's an idea from a ticket writer.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that that you see year in, year out now, and the creativity and mixing up, just say, hey, here's a suggestion box. Open it up, send the email. You come to the counter, your window, whatever, employees. And that's how a lot of this stuff gets going, and it's great.
Well, I know the Westgate put up one from JVT a couple years ago, and that was, will a team go for it on fourth down inside their own territory?
Beautiful. Yes, they have that. Yeah, that's well done. Will Seattle convert a fourth down? Will Seattle convert a fourth down in their own territory? But New England is plus 330, Seattle's plus 375. That's a great prop, especially in today's NFL. Go, go, go.
Which coach is more likely to go for it?
Oh, Vrabel, no doubt.
I would absolutely say 100%.
How many times does McDonald kick field goals fourth and one?
Yes, I feel like McDonald would be punting on fourth and one at like his own 48-yard line every time.
Yeah, now here's one. It's got to be a bigger price. I know it's a Super Bowl, but come on. You can bet the no on this. Will there be a touchdown on fourth down? 3-1 only. That's it. That's a fan. Yeah, that's got to be. Come on. That's got to be.
You're not expecting a lot of points anyway.
No.
More props coming up. Again, more on the Westgate as well, opening up all their props. I'm always a fan of the cross-sport prop offerings, and they did not disappoint. We'll tell you about those coming up next year on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. More props on Super Bowl 60, Patriots and the Seahawks next week from Santa Clara. Will there be a lead change in the fourth quarter? That's a good prop. Yes is plus 225. Do we get that good of a game?
Yeah, that's popular. Mm-hmm.
No is minus 265 on that. Are we going to, Paul, you're the kicking guru here. How about a missed PAT in the game? It's higher than 3-1. You also love betting nothing to happen in a bunch of these games in the first like 5.5, but I'll break this down for you. You can tell me when you want to stop. Will either team score in the first 3.5 minutes?
No.
No is a $6 favorite.
Yep.
4.5 minutes is minus 310.
Yep.
5.5 minus 180. Is that good?
Ooh, that's juice. Yeah, that's too much juice on that.
Well, what is that typically?
It should be like $1.40. Shouldn't be that high. Shouldn't be 180 for 5.5.
I thought these numbers were a little high. 6.5 minutes, no is minus 125.
Uh-huh.
And then if you really want to get nuts, will there be a score in the first 7.5 minutes of the game? The no is plus 120. I think we're going to get a scoreless quarter in this game, or we have the makings of a scoreless quarter in this game.
Concur.
Because of the two defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you get, there was always that angle with Tom Brady when he was playing with the Patriots.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah. do we do that again?
Maybe.
Right? Belichick and Brady could never score in the first quarter. It was lunacy.
Yeah.
Nothing would happen.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah.
And as always, by the way, you can find a bunch of middles because I noticed at the Westgate, I think they opened up total sacks for the game. 5.5 over was plus 110. Other books opened up 6.5 on that. So if you have a little plus money to play with on the over 5.5, you could come back and go under 6.5.
I could see, you know, both teams making a 33-yard field goal. But and then how aggressive do you want to get if you think this could be a kicking fest? Both teams to make 4 field goals is 50-1. That was, and then how many do we get in a game? You can bet all that stuff too. But how many could happen? But that was, you could also put the misses up. I mean, it was historic what happened Sunday. There were four missed field goals in the game. They also have record breakers. Will someone break Timmy Smith's record? Rushing yards, 101. The receiving record, Jerry Rice, 216, 35-1. They have those up too, and then they have the Brady as well. But, I mean, if someone throws for 510 yards, whatever it is, God bless you.
Now, I don't think I've noticed this prop before. Maybe I have, and it's just out of sight, out of mind. But will the final score be the same as any past Super Bowl? Yes, it's 4-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not bad. Is Scorigami enough? That's always popular. Will there be a Scorigami?
No.
And I know the circuit guy talked about it when he was in studio. But that's got to be a deep dive into what's available and what's hit and what hasn't hit over the years.
Actually,
it's only 15-1. See, Scorigami and Octopus have to be a lot higher.
I would agree.
There's only been three Octopus. There's been three the whole year.
Octopi.
There's been three the whole year.
That's it.
So you can't tell
it's
me 15-1. And then Hurts did it in the Super Bowl against Kansas City, but the first one. But that's got to be higher because it's so hard to do.
Well, that Super Bowl also had, like, games are going to be different, right? Like, Hurts was a perfect candidate for that.
Yes.
In that game.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, can you look up, was last year's game a Scorigami, if I recall, or was it close to being a Scorigami? Was it Hopkins who scored late? And maybe because of that, it was not a Scorigami. I think it was like in the ballpark of being a Scorigami last year.
Yeah.
First quarter receiving yards by Cooper Kupp. Can he get a half a yard in the first quarter?
Absolutely. He's been good in the playoffs.
He has been good.
I kind of like that bet more where he have 25 yards in the second half. Or again, it's also they know what you're going to do if it's a big play. They're zero in on JSN, and that can open things up for Kupp. And he had the big third down catch.
It was not a Scorigami last year. Okay, thank you, Luke. More rushing yards. Kenneth Walker, minus 51.5 yards versus Travion Henderson. And Walker is minus 34.5 versus May. I think I might have to take a little May there.
Mm.
I'll expand on this a little bit later on. Like
I don't think Walker gets 70 yards. And the other thing, I think this can be a Henderson game. I know we've been calling for it. All year long. But it's just, he is the home run hitter on the Patriots. This is the guy that can go 80 yards. It's not Stevenson. It's your guy, home run hitter. We need a big play. It's Henderson. But he was hardly out there against Denver. But you go back to the New England, the Buffalo game, the Tampa Bay game when he was so good. He just doesn't get the opportunities. But I would think here, if Vrabel and McDaniels can dial something up, whether it's a lot of dump offs or some screen, maybe a draw here and there. This guy's a home run hitter and perfect when you're going against a nasty defense.
You remember the narrative going into the Tampa Bay game? Because I do. Nobody could run on Tampa Bay at that point.
That's right.
Nobody could. They were a brick wall up front.
Yes.
Yeah, and he eviscerated them. He was tremendous.
He was great in the Buffalo game.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yep. So the crossbar props, I love looking at them and trying to wrap my head around them every single year. This is really good. Who will have more here is what it's called. Scottie Scheffler, fourth round score, waste management, fourth round score, plus 23.5 versus JSN receiving yards. Scheffler will shoot what? At worst, a 70? Might shoot a 63? Who knows? What does JSN have to beat you if you take Scottie Scheffler?
That's a good one.
If you have, if JSN gives you 90, I think you're pretty safe there with that one.
Yeah, I would say yes.
Matsuyama, fourth-round score, minus 23.5 versus Stephon Diggs receiving yards. Now, can Diggs have 60? Hell, if he can get to 50 yards, I like him in this matchup.
See, that's an over, though. I mean, they think he's going to get in the mid-40s.
Yeah, so that tells me 50's not that outlandish. And if he gets to 50, Matsuyama has to shoot a 74 for you to lose if you have Diggs. And this one's really good, Paulie.
Okay.
So the Clippers are turning into, again, one of the better defensive teams in the league. They've completely flipped their season around. Who's going to have more? Anthony Edwards that weekend when the Timberwolves play the Clippers against Hunter Henry receiving yards, which is minus 6.5. Well, isn't Hunter Henry high 30s, low 40s?
Yes.
So what if Henry goes for 45 yards?
Mm-hmm.
Edwards has to have at least 39 to get you. Is he going to go for teetering on 40 points against the Clippers defense? I don't know about that one. I think that's a play on Henry.
Okay.
Hoping that he has a nice game.
Yeah.
There's another Paul Howard special. JSN, did you see this one? 50-plus yards in each half.
How high?
30-1.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's a good price. I could absolutely see him doing that.
I mean, at 30-1?
I think you have to take that.
I don't hate that.
Uh-huh. I need more on this, too. This is at Will Hill Caesars. Will there be a fumble, an interception, and a missed field goal? Plus 375? Nah. Need more than that. We only had the muffed punt in the NFC game.
Yeah. So you can always bet the no.
Yeah, that one. And then they also have at Westgate, will a kick hit the upright or the crossbar? Plus 450. That was incredible the first year. Caesars put that up, and Gostkowski did it.
That's right.
But I think they had like a 10. They had a big number on it, though. And they lost, I think, six figures to that prop.
That makes sense.
As he hit it up there.
Well, a lot of these are going to be so popular with the public, like this one, right? Will the opening kickoff be returned for a touchdown? Well, the Seahawks get the ball, and the Patriots decide to kick off. Shahid just did this.
Yep.
It's 80-1.
Yep.
So,
it was a 109er game, yeah.
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 So how do you think the public's going to bet that? It's going to be all public money, $5 bets on the yes, $10 bets on the yes. And if that, imagine looking at that prop all week, thinking about it, not betting it, and then it hits.
Have you seen touchback yet? We're going to have to, that's going to be a big discussion all week about that.
The opening kickoff?
Yeah, that's right. Now with the rule changes and everything, what's going to happen? And you don't want to mess around with that guy anyways. I thought the Rams did the right thing last week.
So did I.
Don't let that guy beat you.
That's.
But the Patriots have phenomenal special teams.
Yes, they do.
And Schooler's a nut running around out there.
I think that's a three-second discussion, isn't it? Hey, guys, how do you want to approach the opening kickoff? He's not touching it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to boot this thing 15 rows into the stands.
Did you see the John Casey? I didn't see out of bounds.
Oh, I didn't see that either.
That should be up there, too. Be a good plus price.
On any kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kick it out of bounds.
Yeah, I like that.
Put the nerves and you shank it, whatever. Successful onside kick, 22-1.
Oh, now think about what has to happen to put yourself in that situation.
Non-quarterback throws a touchdown, 12-1.
Again, they try to get creative.
I know. The same score at halftime, 14-14, 90-1. Non-quarterback throws a pass, plus 180. I think that's going to happen. And I love this. Will a drive start inside their own five? And if you can also do, I was talking to Ozzie about this. He thinks first punt results in a touchback, 8-1.
If Seattle has to punt first, if either team has to punt first, I don't want to kick to either one of those guys.
Drive stalls at midfield.
Jones is the best in football.
That's right. Same thing. That's not bad. I found that interesting that he made a strong case for that.
Anthony Irwin on the program coming up next. He lives in Los Angeles, covers the Lakers. What was going on in his mind in what appeared to be a potentially scary moment last night with Luka Doncic? We'll hit some NBA here, specifically the Los Angeles Lakers, as we go out now to the Progressive guest line. Anthony Irwin joins the program now. He is a host of Lakers Lounge. You can follow him on X at Anthony Irwin LA. Anthony, thanks for the time today. How are you?
It's been a little while.
Yeah.
You know, nice to see you guys again. Hope you guys are well.
Yep. Back at you.
You too.
What was going on in your brain last night when you were watching the game and Luke all of a sudden goes off the side of the court, and I can't believe we're having this discussion in 2026, but all hell almost broke loose last night.
You think about the implications of him potentially getting hurt there, and you're talking about years' impact, because we are in that stage of the season where an ACL injury is somehow even worse than it would normally be, because it's a full year recovery from now. So Luka would have been affected at the beginning of next season too, which is now 2 years of his potential prime, and it's all because for whatever reason, the NBA hasn't standardized what is expected of arenas and as it pertains to their basketball courts.
I couldn't believe what I was watching when that took place last night. Also, you quote tweeted this with Magic Johnson when he said last night, to my surprise, the Cavaliers blew up my Lakers. It was total domination in every basketball category with a score of 129-99. He's Mr. Obvious on X. We all know that. But why did that catch your attention?
Well, it just felt like he was just, you know, there was a sentence or two left out of there, you know. Like, whoever is responsible for this kind of roster that would lose to the shorthanded Cavs that way, how dare that person, you know, knowing how he feels about Rob Pelinka, who he went on ESPN and called a snake at one point.
Yes.
So,
yes,
that was certainly kind of interesting. And it's even more interesting when you consider that by way of Mark Walter, Magic is actually a part of the organization again, you know, with the investment that he has in Mark Walter's properties. So it's a thing that's going to come up again, how Magic Johnson feels about Rob Pelinka. And if at some point Mark Walter goes to Magic and says, hey, what do you think about the way that the Lakers are run? And that question about Rob Pelinka comes up. What do you guys think Magic's going to say about Rob Pelinka?
Very good. Excellent point. What do you think of the team right now and how they've struggled defensively and if they'll make a move here at the deadline a week away?
Yeah, so I've been marveling all year at the fact that the Lakers are somehow less athletic than almost every team that they play and also shoot worse than almost every team that they play. Usually you're good at one of the two, right? A really, really athletic team that gets up and down the court, that can dunk on anybody. Sometimes those teams struggle with shooting. Other times you have really, really good shooting teams that, you know, light you up from three and space you out and put your defense in all kinds of awkward situations. They then sometimes struggle defensively. And yet the Lakers are somehow bad at both. So when we talk about like what the Lakers need to do with the trade deadline, there might be too many boxes to check here.
Oh, no. So one and done? Maybe a sixth seed? What do you think the outlook is if that's the case and they can't do anything to improve?
Well, it's interesting because everything right now, not just with the Lakers, but around the entire NBA is being held up by this Giannis situation, uh-huh. Right? Like every single team out there is either hoping to get in on convincing Giannis to try to force the Bucks to send him there, or they're trying to facilitate whatever the Giannis trade is to get themselves an extra asset here and there. Maybe land one of, you know, like if Minnesota trades for Giannis, McDaniels is probably moving, right? So if you really like McDaniels, you're probably holding onto your assets to see if maybe you can land him. If the Knicks really try to go out and go after Giannis, one of OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges is probably on the move. Do you like those guys enough to hold off your plans for the future? So for the Lakers, they're no different than everybody else. They're kind of looking at this situation and they're saying, all right, well, maybe we can, they're basically hoping and praying internally that Giannis makes it to the summer because they don't have the assets to trade for him now. But if he does get traded now, before the deadline, then the Lakers are kind of looking at that entire situation and they're saying, okay, well, how can we benefit from this if we aren't going to get him? So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that and how they finally start to, if they ever start to build out a full on roster. We haven't seen that done since the 2020 offseason. Everything else has been this rotating cast of characters who stick around for a season or two and then, you know, or they recalibrate with some new different identity. And meanwhile, they wasted, I thought, the later stages of LeBron's prime and Anthony Davis's prime. And now they're kind of starting to do the same thing here at the beginning of Luka's.
Yeah, I would also chime in and say this, based on everything that you just said, and you look at the standings overall and remaining SOS, they have a top 10 most difficult schedule in the league going forward. They're also the 5 seed right now, but I think there's a real path here, Anthony, and maybe you can disagree with me on this or correct me if I'm wrong. I think the Suns can win this division. They've been right there with them the entire time. The Suns are good. They play their asses off every single game. And the Lakers can fall back. They're tied with the Wolves right now, like as the 5-6. They could easily be in the play-in game. That's not a stretch at all, in my opinion.
Oh, I mean, that's for every single team outside of the Thunder in the West, right? They, you lose 3-4 games in a row, yep, and you start falling. It's not if you start falling, it's not how it's how far are you going to fall. So for the Lakers, what the league does every year with the Lakers is they backload the schedule for them because they know that more people tune in to marquee games after football has ended. So the Lakers season is always pretty easy to predict, and that's why it was always so concerning that they carried a negative point differential to this point in the season, because the league always gives them a lighter front half of the schedule, mm-hmm, and then backloads the back end of their schedule, knowing that they want the Lakers on national TV playing a good opponent with playoff seeding stakes on the line. And yeah, now they've kind of sort of, I think, missed an opportunity early on in the season. And now you're faced with having to be significantly better against better competition than they have been, or else, yeah, you're messing around with the play-in.
Well said. You have a lot to talk about, and always a lot of content. You got the gift last week with the ESPN.com article by Baxter Holmes. The family dynamic, this is right out of Succession, which I think some people knew, but not to this extent. But what did you think of the article? And also, it was an article about the dysfunctional Buss family. Oh, by the way, Jeannie doesn't like LeBron and wanted to trade him to the Clippers, or at least thought about it. What did you make of the article?
The Succession comparison is so perfect that the elder Succession son, right? I think his name was Connor in the show. Remember, he ran for president in that show,
uh-huh,
using his own money, and he never got any kind of traction on it. Johnny Buss, the eldest Buss sibling, ran for president this most recent election using his own money, and as you know, as would be expected, never got much footing on that front. So it's such a perfect analogy, and it gets better the more that you watch that show and the more that you pay attention to this Buss family. I think what really kind of struck me was a couple of things. One, how much or how sick of all of that Lakers fans are, mm-hmm, where if I talked about it on my show, my chat was always, who cares? They don't even own the team anymore. Let's all move on. Jeannie won, move on. And I don't necessarily blame Lakers fans for that. Two, the LeBron stuff is, it just all kind of struck me as the end of any relationship. It's really rare that a relationship ends on good terms in a way that, you know, both parties are really happy. It, you know, they're happy that it happened and you're happy to be moving on. That's not normally how things end. And in one way or another, either he leaves in free agency this summer, I doubt he's going to get traded between now and the trade deadline, or he retires. In one way or another here in the next year or so, LeBron's Lakers tenure is going to end. And he's been a Laker for so long that, yeah, eventually there's going to be some friction and some misplaced, it sounded like jealousy based on that article. And that's what you kind of saw.
What do you think happens to him next year?
Do you have a lottery ticket I could buy? I think he's going to play again. I just don't see any world in which LeBron James, given how public he is about everything, just that he would walk away from the NBA with no farewell tour, with no documentary, with nothing like that.
Right.
I just don't see that. So I think he's going to play. Now the question is where. There was that report recently that the Cavs would be open to bringing him in. That struck me as interesting. And I think that's something to kind of monitor. LeBron's performance in that building last night struck me as interesting because I don't think he wants that to be his last performance, yeah, in that building. So I would say he plays another year, and it's between the Lakers and the Cavs for where he's going to play.
All right, very good. Anthony, great perspective. Thanks so much for popping on again. Good catching up. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Thank you.
Follow him on X. He's at Anthony Irwin, LA, host of Laker Lounge as well, and he was on the Progressive guest line. Paul, he's going to recap a lot of the action from last night, a win some, lose some, coming up next here on VSiN.
Win Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Champions League yesterday, PSG, Newcastle, draw 4-1. Glimp did it again, 7-1 on a money line. So did Sporting Lisbon, plus 350. Benfica, plus 340 as well, as there were 18 matches that all went off at the same time. Knicks Raptors under 226. Down to 222. Nice comeback. And the Knicks did a good job defensively. A lot of guys played well. A lot of guys had the flu, and Cat didn't give them anything. But a nice win on the road in Toronto. College, Oakland, IPFW under 167 to 162. Old Dominion 3-1. Ottawa plus 135. The Avalanche lose again. What? Come on. Where were the goals in the first period? Like the Islander game, the first period goes over. But we didn't get a goal on the first 10.
Well, frustrating. So last I had the first period over in this game. No good. And we had three games in hockey last night. They're all going on at the same time. The other two games, explosion of goals in the first period. They both went over. This game, the Senators and the Avs, second period went over. Third period went over. Game went over. First period, nothing.
Yeah.
Losing bet. Yeah. No good.
Surprising. Subscribe, be part of the team, vsim.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. Luke, send this to me. This is great. Walking in to the living room, and you'll never expect this, but the Bulldog's sleeping on the table. I've never seen this before. He's got a couch to his left and a couch to his right, and he jumps on the table and falls asleep. Out of all things, I think he's got a blanket and everything. And he decides, I'm just going to fall asleep on the table, and he's out.
Look at the tongue hanging out of the mouth. God.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's great. Good-looking guy, too. As he falls asleep, this is great. Another big guy just staring at the plastic bag. Come on. I want to sit down. Move the bag, please. I'm not going to jump up until the bag.
Oh, I thought there was a treat in there.
Here he goes.
Look at the size of his paws.
Yeah, he's a big fella.
Holy man.
Right? Yeah, finally, I can sit down. Look at this. Yeah, get the blanket off, please, right?
This is the same guy.
Same guy. Look at it. I want to clean. I want to clean. I don't want a bag. I don't want a
toy?
Yes, no toy, no blanket, nothing. That's my spot. I'm the only thing that's allowed up on the couch. And move that over, please. Give me a clear runway. Finally, everything. And now he goes up. Boy, is this guy spoiled. And watching a little TV. That's great. As he stands there. Get the plastic bag out of the way already. Fiona again. Let's go to the Cincinnati Zoo. Here was the original setup. Happy birthday, Fiona. The lettuce, the watermelon, all set up. And this really puts it in perspective. Just how big, right? To put that, and then the other video was throwing the watermelon up there like a Tic Tac and putting it down no problem as it comes out of her mouth everywhere and sideways as she's putting down the watermelon.
Oh, you know what it is? I just thought of this now. When we were kids, they had those cheese balls. What were those called?
Yeah.
They come in a canister.
Yes, right. Those are popular.
And you throw them up like this, you catch 30 in
no
a row.
Problem. That's not bad.
That's what Fiona does with the watermelon.
Yeah, that's not bad. Oh, there's two of them. That's good. Good presentation. Lose some. Bulls +2 to -2. No good. Miss State LSU over 150 up to 154. Also no good. Before the line moves, sharp plays already there. January isn't about volume. It's about precision. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar books of full-time sharps on your own. With the sharp plays, you don't have to. Free reports, alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Jeff and the crew have been at it since 2011. Documented results, public logs, transparent receipts, sharpplays.com. Trusted by pros, monitored by the book. Stay ahead of the line this postseason. Visit sharpplays.com. I know last night Barkley said he doesn't expect LeBron back next year. But also I think Anthony Irwin's correct that he's not going to – you would want type of a ceremony or a farewell tour as well, that arguably the second best player all time would like a nice send-off and won't go quietly into the night. But the other thing is with that article was – and it's right out of Succession. It's incredible. But he did win a title. And I argue the Lakers were going to go back-to-back if Davis didn't get hurt in the Sun series. That there's kind of like, the but stuff with LeBron or maybe sick of his demands or whatever. But he did come – you couldn't make the playoffs. And he changes everything by saying, yes, I will be a Laker. And he wins the title, and he could have won two. And now it'd be nice if he gets some added help at the deadline as well. And I hope it's not his final season as a Lake. But if he does come back, he must take a pay cut because they also have to keep Reeves.
Arguably number two best of all time?
Yeah.
So you have him ahead of Jordan?
No, the second best player of all time.
I'm saying you have him ahead of Jordan?
No, Jordan number one.
Oh, no. Neither guy's better than Nikola Jokic.
You're going to go be him one? All right.
Neither guy's better than Steph Curry. Steph Curry's all-time starting five. I know you and I disagree on that. I would have Steph Curry top five, absolutely.
I would expect him to get some type of a tour, though.
Oh, he's gonna demand it.
Yeah.
For sure. Yes. Let me give you some breaking news in the NBA.
Oh, good.
Aaron Gordon now, who's having a great year with the Nuggets, but he's been injured. He now needs to be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. Right hammy. So he re-aggravated the previous hamstring injury he sustained. That was all the way back in late November. Is this going to be a year that we're going to look back and say what could have been for the Nuggets?
Perhaps.
Right?
Because it was too bad because this has really helped them that you're seeing these young guys flourish and blossom while your star is out. It really is going to help them playoff time.
I was really intrigued watching this play out with Denver. Once they get everybody back and healthy, if they do, like, what does that mean? Does it automatically just... Can we assume that they're all going to gel once Joker's there and he comes over and the usage is so high and everybody else still like plays as well as they were as supporting role players? Or does that flip a little bit and they go back to getting 8 minutes a game and not much of an impact whatsoever? And also, we saw something last night again. Victor Wembanyama played 29 minutes. He had 5 blocks in the fourth quarter alone. What? And they came back to beat the Rockets. Rockets are good. They're really good. This San Antonio team... If he stays healthy the entire time, and once they give him more minutes, I'm actually becoming stronger and stronger on this team the more I watch that guy play, and the more that the Spurs can put some stuff on film, more records, you know, more games actually under their belt. Is anybody going to beat them? And yes, I'm throwing in Oklahoma City. The Spurs dominated them in the regular season. Mm-hmm. I think that could be a carryover thing into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about when Victor Wembanyama goes from 29 minutes to 35, 36, whatever that is.
That's right.
With that young core of guys.
Have you given more thought into Freak and more reports that this could get done by the deadline? Because I find it interesting that in today's NBA, the player has so much power. But this has also been said by many analysts, broadcasters, former players, that you have to do right by the player, which is... Hey, I want to go somewhere with a chance to win a championship, or I don't want to go here, or don't send me there. Although the one I could see Freak not being a diva, though. But even Phoenix did it for Kevin Durant, how they helped him out going to Houston. And you could also say you didn't maximize your return. So that'll be interesting to monitor and watch how Milwaukee does that, which, hey, thanks for everything. You brought us a title, but maybe we work on the same page here where we don't get the best return, but we get a return and send our superstar off to a place where he can continue his career.
Yeah, I did a lot of reading on it, a lot of listening. And I will say this. Once the talk of a third team comes in, that's where it kind of loses me overall.
Yeah, that's possible.
And then you got to match salaries, and then future picks are swaps. And I'm like, it's too much for me. I lose interest, to be honest. But listening to Windhorse's podcast, they were making a case that actually a sneaky team, I doubt, now would Giannis ever agree to this? They made a strong case for Portland.
Yeah.
Because they have so much to work with. And as they were talking about it and running everything down, I'm like, that would actually make some sense, I think, from both sides. But Giannis, again, is probably going to have to be the final guy who says, yeah, I'll check that box. Send me over there. Don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Be an interesting fit. And how about the yeah, but angle? 31 and he's hurt a lot.
Sure.
Phenomenal player, but he's hurt a lot.
And by the way, when you trade for him, that means you absolutely have to give him almost $300 million.
Uh-huh.
Not quite that much, but it's in that neighborhood. So certainly things to consider. The Timberwolves got into the mix late last night and today. They are evidently a major player here.
The rumored return?
There would have to be a third team. Has to be a third team involved. But they would be, like, Randall's gone. Jay McDaniel's gone. And then it comes down to other, you know, future picks way off into the distance, and then how many other guys. Would Gobert be out as well? But then we're talking about you're gutting your entire team. And this is a team that it did not go well for them last year, but they did make the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I don't think this Timberwolves team, the way that they're constructed, can win anything this year, though.
Okay. Well, they beat OKC already, and then they get them tonight at home in our Amazon game.
And watch, I said this last week, once they... lost to the Jazz outright, and it was a Malinsky special for Utah. I said, fast forward to next Thursday, they'll beat Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, is that they played to the level of competition. And I won't be surprised at all if they would actually pull that somewhat of a mild upset tonight.
Yeah.
Where do you want to see him go out of the most realistic landing spots?
Knicks, Portland, Miami.
Miami, yeah, they could do it. Off-season, though, I think, with them.
Yeah, and a respect for Riley.
Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian next. His early look at props. He crushed it by attacking running backs in the passing game last week against the Seahawks. Is he going back to the well again?